come to return. God is the father of the prodigal who longed for his son to come back. But at the same time, I want to make sure I don't communicate to them that I think that their being in a homoerotic relationship is just fine and God's all for that. Now, an area that I'm not going to have time to address is the area of politics and issues like gay marriage in our society. Perhaps we will have a future time for that. I would just say a couple of points as we engage those kind of issues. Just do not lose sight of that important role of always being ambassadors for Christ in your conduct, reflecting God's longing for restored relationship with all people, especially those who you may look at and say, that is a political enemy. That's someone on the other side politically. Never lose sight that you are always an ambassador to that person. God's primary desire, as expressed by Paul in 1 Timothy 2, in the context of calling for prayer for government authorities, for the good of society, says, this is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We always have to keep that in mind. He wants all people to be saved. There is also the important consideration, one other point, of religious liberty. We want to try to protect an environment in which people are free to express religious convictions. That's not to protect our individual right. That's not to somehow so that we're able to express our religious perception. It's to have an environment in which people have the best chance of coming to the truth of the gospel. So we want to protect religious liberty because we want to make sure that it's always able to present the gospel in any society. And there's a lot about that. We talked about that a couple summers ago. Maybe we'll have time to look at that later. I won't have time this morning. Because where I wanted to conclude is back to this idea that as we wrestle with homoeroticism and the challenges and the way it challenges us in trying to apply it, I want to look at this way that it challenged all of us in the area of discipleship and what is pleasing to the Lord. This principle of God's desire for holiness in his church that we are applying to homoerotic expression also raises the issue of how this principle applies to other areas of sin as well. Are we being consistent and taking the stand that Christ desires, or are we accepting what he finds ultimately unacceptable within his church? Where else would we have to apply that? This is challenging, and it is challenging to us. Now, of course, the response to this challenge is not to treat homoerotic expression with the same ungodly permissiveness that we might be applying to other areas of sin. This might, from a human perspective, if you're just looking at, you know, put the human person at the center, you might say, well, but that's fair. You know, if you're going to be lax or permissive with this group of people over here, to be fair, you need to be equally lax and permissive with this group of people over here. That's fine if all you care about is being fair to people. If what you really care about is God's holiness and honoring that, that is not the right answer, is it? Because we're dishonoring God's holiness over here, we're now going to also dishonor God's holiness over here. And that's our solution. I think somebody said at one point, two wrongs don't make a right. I would apply that to this situation. The response is to face this challenge and be obedient where we are called to honor God's holiness. This is not about falling to temptation and committing sin that we then repent of. That's a very different thing. What this is about is there are areas where we would be committing sin, only we're not calling it sin. We're calling it fine. And we're therefore not repenting of it. That is what we're talking about. What would some of those areas be? That's a good question to ask. Some of the things that just come to my mind and that people have brought up is the whole area of, what about divorce within the church, the Christian church? Are we viewing divorce the way God does? Or are we somehow allowing people to divorce much too easily, much too quickly than what is honoring God because it's somehow they want to, it's part of their welfare? But here's an even more difficult one. What about materialism? What might Jesus say, the Jesus of speaking to the church of Revelation, what might he say to the American church, and we are an American church, if he were to come against us? What would he say about materialism? Are there all kinds of ways that we are handling our money and in ways that he would go, I am not pleased with that. That does not reflect my holiness. Also, we've talked about love the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. This command has an edge to it when you think about loving others by calling them to repentance, which is what we've said we need to do with someone who's involved in homoerotic relationships, right? The most loving thing we can do is to somehow call them to repentance. Are you loving yourself in that way? Are you loving yourself by calling yourself to repentance? Or are you loving yourself by indulging in behavior that does not honor God? Because the more we love ourselves like that, the more we're treating ourselves that way, we're basically being indulgent, basically saying, you know, I'm more just concerned about what's going to make me happy and what's going to bring me fulfillment. I'm really not that concerned about what is honoring God's holiness. The more we act like that, and then we go try to say someone who we believe is caught in sin and say, now I'm trying to love you by calling you to repentance. How are they going to receive that? They're not going to receive that very well. But if they actually see in you someone who is loving themselves in that way, who is constantly calling themselves to repentance, of behavior that they would say, yeah, that looks like I'd like to do that. That's something I'm attracted to, but I really believe that's not honoring God's holiness. The more we're doing that, the more they're going to be able to understand the love that you're offering them, which is a calling to repentance. And I think it's worth repeating something that I shared 2 weeks ago at the end of that message. If you remember, this was a man, a pastor, who did have an issue of same-sex attraction, and he was talking about how other people talked to him. And this is what he said in the book that he wrote. He said, ever since I have been open about my own experiences of homosexuality, a number of Christians had said something like this: the gospel must be harder for you than it is for me, as though I have more to give up than they do. But the fact is that the gospel demands everything of all of us. If someone thinks the gospel is somehow slotted into their life quite easily, without causing any major adjustments to their lifestyle or aspirations, it is likely they have not really started following Jesus at all. That is extremely challenging. And I think, as I've said before, I think this is a way that people who are encountering same-sex attraction, who are trying to adhere to a biblical ethic, have a lot to teach the rest of us. And so we find that attempting to be faithful to our biblical understanding of sexuality as it relates to homoeroticism actually ends up challenging our own discipleship, even if that's not our issue. We are challenged as well. And really, it is my hope and prayer that allegiance to the biblical understanding of homoeroticism, staying with that, not caving in and accepting it, is a pathway of reforming and renewing the church in America, because the church in America needs to be renewed and reformed. Properly pursued, I believe it can lead to a humble repentance of the way in which we have lost sight of God's holiness in the pursuit of personal fulfillment in our lifetime here on earth. Really, there's a book, one of the books that I read, it's more of a revisionist perspective. It talks about its tagline is, you know, it's out there trying to encourage the church to adopt a more permissive approach to gay marriages and gay relationships. And in the tagline, he says it's about rescuing the gospel. I would actually say I have a completely opposite perspective, that rescuing the gospel in American church is realizing that we are way too much about personal fulfillment, way too much about happiness on this earth. So that's a big thought that I have that I'm leaving you with to consider here at the end of this message, that maybe it's in pursuing this and learning from the people who it hits the closest to home that we'll recover what does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it really mean to serve the Lord and His holiness and honor that and that be the priority of our lives, not how can God give me a better life? How can God make my life better? Maybe we'll discover that as we humbly repent of the things that are within us. So at this point, I'd like to invite the worship team forward. I would like to close in worship with a focus on how do you get to that place where you are pursuing holiness that is self-sacrificing. How do you get to that place? How do you get to the place where you want to do that, where that becomes the primary desire of your life? It's not by just wanting to be a better Christian than everybody else. Really, how you get there is by realizing what God has done for you in Christ and then saying back to Him, I want to do everything I can to honor you. That's what I want my life to be about. So if there are areas where I have to sacrifice in order to honor you, when I'm looking at it from that perspective, my attitude is, rather than trying to avoid those and find some other way of looking at it, my attitude would be, bring it on. I want to use that as an expression of love to you. And that's what I want to capture in this final worship song that we're going to sing here this morning. Lord, we want to be worshipers of you. We want to be a church that is all about honoring your holiness. So Lord, reveal it to us. And Lord, where we need to sacrifice what we want to do in order to do that, Lord, I pray that we would do it out of love for you. And we would experience the joy of your joy and the joy of worshiping you, Lord. And I pray that where we struggle in that, we would be a church body that helps one another along. All to your glory, all to your honor, all for your joy. Amen.